Exodus chapter 1 is where I'd like to read today. I want to talk about our future. I want to talk about what's ahead as far as our future is concerned. And I know you're probably thinking, why Exodus? Let's read here in Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. That's a great little statement right there. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all of his brethren and all of that generation and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. They built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pidon and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. The king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. You're probably wondering, why would he read the entire chapter 1 of Exodus to talk about future and to talk about God's plan for our future? You know, we could just go back a few months to the beginning of this year, and businesses and even churches were using the 2020 little catchy little slogan. 2020 meaning perfect sight. And our 2020 vision is this or that. And they would then use that as a way to portray, well, we believe this is going to happen in 2020. These are our grand and glorious plans for the coming new year. And I can just imagine God is there in heaven watching all of those plans being made and saying, you don't know what's getting ready to happen. You don't know what's just ahead for you. It's a reminder to us that only God knows the future. Only God knows the future, and the future is safely in His hands. Praise God. And so, since you all should be interested in the future, because really that's all you've got left, is the future. You've got today, and everything else is the future. That's all you've got left. The past is already gone. You've lived it out. The past is just a memory. All you have left for the rest of your life is the future. You better be interested in what's going to happen in the future and how to follow God's plan for the future. Amen. All of our plans, if they're made without God, we're just going to be set up for failure. We're just going to be set up for disappointment. All of our planning and our the things that we have good intentions about in our future, if that's all you have, if it's without God in the center of all that planning, then it's going to be disappointment and it's going to be failure. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, "There are many devices or plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord stands." That shall stand. That's what will really stand in these last days, is the counsel of the Lord, what God is saying about the future. You know, there's been this a revival in psychics and futurists and people over these last months. They were wondering if, well, is this the end? Is this, you know, the apocalypse? And is this what we're facing? And so people are going to fortune tellers and psychics and horoscopes and looking to all these things to try to determine what's going to happen. What's the future? And there's even a great more interest now in prophecy preachers all over the internet. They've cropped up people that are having dreams and are speaking prophetic words about the future, what they think is going to happen this month of October, what they think is going to happen in November, what's going to happen in the future. And, you know, there's just all kinds of information that's out there that's dealing with the future. And you know how to measure whether or not a prophet is real or true or not. If his words come to pass, then he's a true prophet. But the Bible says, if not, he's a false prophet. Amen. We need to stay with the word of the Lord and understand that God knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. Revelation 22, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Amen. So as Christians, we need to believe the word of God, and we need to believe that God is the God of the past. He's the God of today. He's the God of the future also. And you can put your life and your confidence in the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 3 and 14, it says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Get a hold of God and hold on. We don't know what the future holds, but we know that when we get there, He's going to be there. Amen. And He's already prepared the future for us. Daniel, the prophet, he talked about our God as he's the only one that used this term, the Ancient of Days. He uses it three times in the book of Daniel, describing Him as the Ancient of Days, which just means that He is the eternal God that has no beginning and no end. Praise God. That's the God that we serve. Amen. The God that has no beginning and no end, and we can put our full trust in Him who is called the Ancient of Days. Amen. So we're looking to the future. We don't know all that's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen next week or next month or the first of the year. We don't know, but we just know that He is the Lord of 2020, and he's the Lord of 2021 and 2022 and the years that are to come. He's in control, and he is the Lord of it all. So I believe that as Christians, we should look to the future with hope and with confidence, even optimism. We don't know what the future holds. We just know that it's in his hands, and we know that he is trustworthy. Praise God. And so I encourage you today, if you feel the overwhelming sense of fear about what's going to happen in a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 1 month, how bad could it get and how awful can it get? Well, I want you to be reminded today that God is your Lord, he is your Savior, and he's in control of all of these things. Things have not gotten out of his control. Amen. It does kind of seem like things are spinning out of control in our world today, but be reminded of this, that God is in control of what is happening. Now, when you look at the book of Exodus and this chapter that we just read, just to give the brief background on what happened here to Joseph and to all of his brethren and to Jacob and that great, his whole family, you remember how that because of envy that his brethren sold him into slavery. And they sold him into slavery. He winds up down in Egypt. He is bought by a man by the name of Potiphar. He works for Potiphar for a while until he is falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And then he finds himself in prison. It's a sad, and a terrible circumstance. Hated by his own family, sold into slavery, and then falsely accused, and then thrown in prison, and forgotten in a prison cell far, far from home. I don't know if it can get much worse than that. It really, really was a bad, bad situation for him. All of those years that he spent facing all of that. But you notice that the phrase that I called your attention to as we were reading that it says, it lists all the names of Jacob's family and all of his extended family. There were 70 souls of them that moved into Egypt. And they went there, it says, because Joseph was already there. Praise God. Joseph was already there. You see, God knew that a famine was going to be coming. He knew the exact year that it would come. He knew exactly what Jacob's household was going to need in their future. And so he arranged through all these circumstances to do a work in Joseph and at the same time prepare for Jacob's household down in Egypt, so that they would not go without. God honored him and he elevated Joseph to that second in line under Pharaoh. And the chariots would run in front of him. And whenever Joseph came to town, and it was a big deal because he became almost overnight a big deal in Egypt, with power and authority, and God positioned him there so that Jacob and all of his family would have a future. Joseph was already there. Can I just remind you here today that God is already ahead of you in the future? He's already preparing a way in the future. He's already working a plan for next month and 2 months away and next year. God is already at work for it all, and we can put our trust in the Lord. Amen. I really believe that in a time when there's a lot of fear and concern and people are upset about the way things are in our world right now, that it's okay for Christians to be optimistic. As a matter of fact, I think we should be optimistic. You mean optimistic in the middle of a pandemic? Optimistic in the middle of the most contentious, divided circumstance in our nation we've ever faced in a time when a certain group of people in our nation want to take us down a pathway that is really anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christ, anti-everything that we believe and we stand for, that there is a certain group of people in our nation that want to move us in that direction. And they're pushing very hard to do that. How can we be optimistic in a time like that? Well, we can. I love it. John Wesley talked about the optimism of grace. That when the grace of God is manifested, that God is at work in our lives, just as he was for Joseph, just as he was for Jacob and all of his family. We can understand that God's grace is at work. And then John Newton, of course, that wrote about the amazing grace of God. He said, this grace that has brought us safe thus far is going to safely lead us on. The same grace that brought you to where you are today is the grace that's going to be with us in the coming months and the coming years. Put your hope and your confidence in the Lord. Amen. For some reason, people like to wallow in their fear and their unbelief, and they don't look to God, and they don't look to the word of the Lord and understand that for the saints of God, the future is bright. That's what William Carey said, the father of modern missions. He said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. The future is as bright as the promises of God. And he, of course, he's the one that's famous for saying, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Amen. So we can read here in this account in Exodus chapter 1, and we can see that God is the God of the future. He is the God who prepared for Jacob and his family's future. And so we must not be fearful and afraid of what is just ahead, but instead we put all of our hope and our confidence in the God who is already there. He's already working. He is already providing. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is talking about this very account. He's talking about the events that took place for Jacob and Joseph and Moses and all that is revealed in the book of Exodus. You see, this was a book that was written 3,400 years ago. And you probably would wonder, how could it have any meaning or any application to what's going on in 2020? Well, it's the eternal word of God. It is the eternal word of God. It's just as real and significant and applicable to our lives today as it was 3,400 years ago when it was written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Paul said this about it, 1 Corinthians 10 and 6. He said, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they are lusted, as they also lusted. And then verse 11, he says, now all these things happened unto them that we're reading about here in Exodus. All these things happened unto them for our example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. It just simply means that God, that all of these things were written so that we would have this timeless record of the faithfulness of God, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the world, to understand that this admonition is to us who are alive today. Amen. And God is at work. So God is faithful. Let's just look at a few things that they were facing in this particular time. It says in verse 6 that Joseph died, and all of his brethren, and all of that generation. God is faithful no matter what generation. No matter what. Now we know that there have been those that I put my hopes and my confidence in. People that were spiritual influences in my life, mentors, pastors, leaders, and many of them have now passed on. Many of that age group have passed on. They're already in the presence of the Lord. We're left here now to face this present time. And so that generation, the generation of Joseph, died, and all his brethren, all of that generation passed on. It had been hundreds of years that they were down, and they spent, they were down there for over 300 years in Egypt, and God preserved them, protected them, and they grew and they multiplied, as it says there in verse 7. They were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. So God blessed them with each succeeding generation. Could I just encourage you today by saying that the God who is faithful to our brothers and sisters who were with us 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, is the same God that we serve today. Amen. We look to the past, and there's nothing wrong with looking to the past, and except that many times it distracts us from our future and from our understanding of the future. I read a little article yesterday about something that's a phenomenon I didn't know in football. Everybody's back to football now. But when the runner is about to cross over, I'm not into football all that much. As a matter of fact, I've given up on the NFL and the NBA. No more. Amen. I never was too much into him anyway. But here's the phenomenon that's interesting. This has not happened once. This has happened time after time after time. That the runner who either catches the ball and is about to run into the end zone, or he has the ball and he's run a long distance, and just before he gets to the end zone, he holds up the ball to celebrate the touchdown before it even happens. And one of the phenomena, they've actually made a bronze statue out of this one particular football player that it happened to more than one time. Because he held it up, and before he knew it, he looked around, and his tackler that was right on his heels knocked the ball out of his hands, and instead of there being a touchdown, things were turned around, and they lost the game. Right at the moment that they were going to win. I think it's important for us to keep our eye on the goal, keep our eye on where we are, on the future, and understand where we live. There's nothing wrong with living and being thankful for the memories of past influences. And I'm so thankful for people down through the years, pastors and leaders and different ones who made such an impact upon me. And I know that we all have people like that in our life. But we've got to get our eyes set on the future, on now, what's going on right now. We've got to make it to the end. We've got to be faithful to the end. And the only way we can do that is keep our focus upon the Lord and upon the things of God. Amen. So we mustn't fear, but we must be strong in our faith, strong in our confidence in the word of the Lord, and not allow anything to deter us from what God has called us to do. I think we need to realize that God is involved in what's happening. I think that I've heard too many bad reports of things being, oh, things are out of control, things, what are we going to do? Almost a desperation, like we think that everything is completely out of control. That's not the truth. That is not the truth. As far as the world's concerned, maybe so. But I want you to know that with the church and the saints of God, and the bigger picture is that God is ultimately the one that is in control, and he can use the circumstances of these days to motivate us to get our eyes fixed upon the Lord. Even Joseph understood it when he brought his brethren back. He understood that the enemy meant this for evil, but God has meant it for good. You thought you were doing damage to me. You thought you were hurting me when you sold me into slavery and all these things that I have suffered. You thought that it was evil, but God meant it for good. God used it to accomplish good. And I just want you to be encouraged today to know that this year, 2020, is a year that God can use for your good. It is a year that God can use for your growth and for your faith to be stronger and for you to face the future with a greater confidence than you ever have before. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's get a hold of the promises of God today and believe His word and not allow all these things that are happening. It says here that even though that generation passed away, they just grew and they multiplied and were fruitful. Amen. So that's what God is calling us to. Not get your eyes set upon the past, but recognize that He wants us to be advancing, growing, moving forward by faith right now in this present circumstance that we are in. And then a new king rose up that didn't know Joseph and decided, we're going to work them harder. We're going to work them with rigor. Just make them work. We're going to do what we can to try to tear them down and to weaken them. But all of that effort, the scripture says, it did not weaken them. All that hard, rigorous labor only served to strengthen them. It only served to build them up and to strengthen them. These are challenging times. These are times that are difficult, but I believe that the church can advance and should advance, and the kingdom of God should advance and grow in the middle of these kind of times. That's the future for the kingdom of God, is that we move forward by faith and put our trust and our confidence in the Lord. Amen. No matter what they faced, they understood that God was in control. We believe it, and we need to act that way. We need to live that out in our life. And then we need to also, not only our faith should grow no matter what circumstance we face, but we need to understand we could grow even if the culture is moving against the things of God. We know that we're called to live in this world, not be of this world, but to live in it. So no matter what the culture is doing, even if the culture is a foreign culture, this king rose up that did not know Joseph, and the Pharaoh before understood the hand of God was upon Joseph, and so had given to him had blessed him and given him great authority and influence. But that's all gone now. Joseph is gone. That generation is gone. A new king comes that didn't know Joseph. And so it is a culture that doesn't know about the things of God. That's the culture we live in today. That's the American culture now, that doesn't know much about the things of God, doesn't know much about the Bible, God's word. And as a result, we find ourselves in a real circumstance. What do we do about it? Well, the Bible says that instead of caving in under the pressure of that generation, God gave to them grace. And it says in verse 14 that they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And no matter how much they did to them, they just multiplied and they grew and they advanced. Praise God. It's always been true that the church advances whenever there are days of persecution. The church actually has always done better under persecution than it has under a time of abundance and the freedoms and the liberties that we've enjoyed. But I just want to remind you that even though the culture might be opposite of the things of God, that God can use that to purify the church. God can use that to strengthen the church. He can use it to expand the church. All of these pressures, if we respond to the Lord in the right way, we can really advance and grow and learn and benefit from these times. That if the culture shifts, which it could easily shift much, much farther away from the things of God. But God has a plan. God has a future for us as the people of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing to know that even though Pharaoh was not everything he tried to do, he was not successful. So then he decides, well, we can't discourage them with hard labor. We can't stop them. They're still growing and advancing. So let's just take care of their firstborn children. Isn't it interesting that this anti-God culture was also a culture of murdering babies? Murdering babies. People that have asked me, well, how will you vote, or what's your position? I really have made, I have a lot of positions, but the number one main issue with me is life. And that's foundational to everything else. If a candidate is a supporter, and our candidates that are running for office today, they have the record of where they have stood on life. It's a public record. And so that should be foundational to everyone that's a Christian, that we support life. You can see this anti-God spirit in Egypt was to destroy the children, to destroy that next generation. But the Bible says that the midwives, even though they were instructed that when these children are being born, that's right, all the way when these babies were at full term, that they were going to snuff their life out at full term. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it does. It does. But the midwives feared God. Praise God. And they did not do as the king had commanded them, but they saved the children alive. We may be faced with a circumstance in our world and our culture today where we are being demanded and commanded to do things that are not according to God's word. And we know that when that day gets here, then we must stand with the truth of God's word. We do have a future. We do have a wonderful future in the kingdom of God. We don't know what's going to happen, but we just know that God is in control. Don't you love the verse in Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And every time I read that verse, I'm reminded of the fact that I'm in the mind of God. You are in the mind of God. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. If you ever feel like, oh, things are out of control, I'm so fearful, I'm so worried about the future, just remember God is thinking about you. And you're in his mind. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Yes. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. If you think I'm being too optimistic, so is the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Another version, of course, of that says to give you a hope and a future. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe we have a future in God. We have a future in the kingdom of God. No matter what happens in our world, even in our nation, we still have a responsibility to live this out and to be what God has called us to be. God is faithful to his people in every generation, in every culture, even in a dark and a wicked time such as we're living in right now. God is faithful, and he's got a future for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you care about your people. You care about the church. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, for some here today that they have been overwhelmed by, you know, just fear and apprehension about the future. Lord, I thank you that you're in control. And Lord, you're already there. You're already planning. You've already developed a purpose and a plan for us. Lord, you haven't left us. You haven't forsaken us. You're with us today, Lord, in the midst of all of these things that are happening. Lord, and we thank you for that. No matter what each generation faces, you're right there with them. And you're with us today. We thank you for that. Praise God.